and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon from Matthew 2, verse 23, and he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, he shall be called a Nazarene. So, Nazareth, looking at the city itself, the setting, the business of the city and everything else, leads to a different idea of where Jesus grew up. Nazareth was a city set in Galilee. From Nazareth, you could look north and see Mount Hermon, could look west and see Mount Carmel there on the Mediterranean, could look south and see the Valley of Jezreel, where many of the great battles took place in Israel's history. To the east, you could see the Sea of Galilee, and looking across it, see the land beyond. Nazareth happened to be a place where the trade routes went through. And that ends up being very important. Trade routes from Egypt up the coast, Mount Carmel, turning east inland, then heading north, diverging. There was a through town and a bypass. Sounds familiar, right? And if you went through town, you could stay there overnight. If you went the bypass, you could hurry on to the next destination. Going north from there and over to the east, then you could go as far as Babylon. The trade routes from Egypt to Babylon went through Nazareth. And from Nazareth, if you went to the west, you could go along the Mediterranean Sea and off to the lands where they spoke Greek, and there was more trade to be had there. So, Jesus grew up in a town where it had an international flavor to it somewhat. He would be exposed to all kinds of things going through Nazareth. And of course, for the rabbis, that called Nazareth into question. Because what are they doing associating with all those Gentiles? But it brings together several parts. Jesus growing up aware of international commerce and of the business of the town, carpentry and everything else. Nazareth was also the place where a certain section of the Levites, when they were preparing to go down to Jerusalem, they would gather at Nazareth. Those that were chosen would head south to Jerusalem to serve at the temple for their time, basically 2 weeks at a time. And those that were not chosen would stay behind and spend the time in prayer. So again, bringing together commerce, international, and religion, and the temple, and the priestly duties, and everything else. Nazareth, a place that Jesus could be exposed to all kinds of amazing things. Nazareth, beautiful country, wine-growing country. So, that's the place. Mary and Joseph, both of whom hailing from Nazareth. They grow up and they are a humble and poor couple. We know this because when the time came for the purification, if they're not able to afford a lamb, then it's two turtle doves. And that was the sacrifice that the poorest of the poor were to give. And so here comes another theme. The international things going on, the priestly things going on, and humility and humbleness. And We see this in the encounter of Mary with the angel. She's troubled at his greeting. Why is she troubled? He says, peace. That's a normal greeting. But then he says, highly favored. And she's troubled at the words and the idea that she would be highly favored by God. The Lord is with you. Troubled at these words. Does not consider herself worthy of them. There's the humility going on, and this will come back in the whole theme of Nazareth. And then the mystery. He shall be called a Nazarene, as the prophet said. And for 2,000 years, the theologians have been hunting for those verses where it says he shall be called a Nazarene. And arguing about them, and which verses are those, and what verses are those, and terribly confused. So you start digging into the verse, he shall be called a Nazarene, and you ask, where does that come from? And you find several things coming together. And first off, as we said at the beginning of the service, and because of this, we sang our first hymn, behold, a branch is growing. The root word, Nazar, means branch. And this comes from the prophet Isaiah. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. So, the rabbis, they look at that verse and they say, well, okay, the name of the Messiah, when he comes along, it's not going to be Emmanuel, it's going to be branch. And they debated that, as only theologians can do. And they decided that, many of them decided, this was the name of the Christ who is to come, branch. And of course, they were wrong. More significantly, a branch shooting up from the stump of Jesse. And what does this mean? This means Jesse and David, the son of Jesse, and the line has been chopped down and no one has sat on the throne of David for centuries. And the kingdom is abandoned and everything looks lost. But there's this prophecy, a shoot will spring up. And where it has all been chopped down and leveled out, suddenly there's going to appear one who will spring from that line. He'll be the branch, the Christ. And the nations will rally to him. See, he's not going to be just for the Jewish people. He is going to be for all nations. This is the theme. This is why Christmas is for all of us, for people of every nation, people, and tribe, and language. Going on, one more part of this verse from Isaiah, and his place of rest will be glorious. And we're not quite sure what that means. Is it the manger, the place of rest? Is it the tomb, the place of rest? His place of rest will be glorious. And down through the ages, we celebrate both of these things, Christmas and Easter, the great holidays of the Christian church. That's one part. Coming into this whole business of he shall be called a Nazarene is another Old Testament term, the term Nazarite. Do you know what a Nazarite is? Somebody who has taken a vow to serve God and is dedicated to God in a certain way. And now it starts to get confusing because the vow of the Nazarite and the ways that the Nazarite are dedicated, they're not consistent. name a few of them. Samson was a Nazarite. You know what Samson was dedicated to not having done? Yeah. Not cutting his hair. Okay. Samuel was a Nazarite. Did Samuel have his hair cut? Sure, no problem. But he was given by his mother to God to grow up at the temple and to serve in God's house. Another Nazarite? Paul. Because Paul, for a while, took a vow of service to God, and for a while, he let his hair grow. And when the hair was cut, he had to save it, set it aside and carry it with him so that when he went up to Jerusalem, he could offer it to God. These are all pretty different. Here's another Nazarite, John the Baptist. John the Baptist was dedicated to God, and he would not drink strong drink. And he lived out in the wilderness, and his food was locusts and wild honey, and his clothing was camel hair and a leather belt. And so he was a Nazarite. And then Jesus is called a Nazarite. But you see, the list of what makes a Nazarite varies tremendously. It's a time of dedication to God, a pattern of dedication to God. But put these two things together. Jesus is the branch, and Jesus is the one who calls us to come out of the world and be separated to God, following him in this separation for God's use and separation for the worship of God and separation that our lives should be used in service to God. That's part of the Advent theme, isn't it? Rededicating ourselves to God. Let's bring a third thing in. Jesus is called a Nazarene. And why that's important is when they call Jesus a Nazarene, they are talking about the city of Nazareth and talking about it as a city that was not respected. It was the city that was looked down on in ancient Israel. Nathanael hears about the Christ. Where's he from? Nazareth. Oh, can anything good come from Nazareth? That's the attitude. Jesus coming from Nazareth. He grows up in humility. And Isaiah says, there was nothing about him that was pleasing, that should draw us to him. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He's not the rock star. He's not the guy that you would follow just because you admire how marvelously he looked or how he acted. He doesn't wow the world until he begins to take on his ministry and he begins to preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead. And yet in all of that, he lives this pattern of humility. Foxes have holes, birds have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Can anything good come from Nazareth? That was the saying. And so he was despised and rejected. And yet this Jesus, this Nazarene, this Nazarite, is the Savior of the world. God acts in this very strange way that he does not come to us in ways that are pleasing. He comes to us in foolishness and weakness and humility. He comes to us in a child born in a stable and laid in a manger. He comes to us, the humble to the humble. He comes to us as the lowly Christ and invites us to come and follow him. The disciples start following him and they're expecting glory after glory after glory. Where's the kingdom? Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom? We've been waiting 3 years. Are you going to drive out the Romans? Are you going to march into Jerusalem and take the throne? No. This Nazarite, this Nazarene, steps up before the world, and strangely enough, what draws us to Jesus is exactly the thing that drives others away. He's the suffering servant, the sacrifice, the lamb slain for the sins of the world. And somebody has said, there is something that Jesus can do that no other religious leader can do. And he can do this, and in doing this, win the hearts of people all over the world. And this strange thing that he does is he is able to be mocked, disrespected. He is able to be the suffering one, the one who dies, the one who is rejected by God and man. And in being rejected, he does the great act of salvation. This is our Jesus, the branch, the Nazarite, the Nazarene. And he calls for us to follow him, because in him we have life. In Jesus' name, amen.